From a starry sky, a wide view descends to a magnificent castle with a vibrant display of fireworks. Walt Disney Pictures. Daytime. A shabby greenhouse stands in front of a rustic two-story home. A middle-aged man in plain work clothing steps out of the house. He walks to a pickup truck and climbs in the driver's seat. Bridge to Terabithia. A roving view settles on a second-floor window of the home. Inside, a freckle-faced boy with messy hair turns on a lamp and peers out, watching the truck drive off. Now, the boy jogs out of the home, then runs down a dirt road. Images flash of colored pencils tracing lines across a page. A drawing of a tree comes to life, and the freckly boy jogs past it, then runs through rain. A farmer waves from his tractor. Drawings of creatures escape from the pencil tips. An animated sketch of a bird flies toward mountains. As rain pours, the boy stops to catch his breath. The pages of a sketchbook flip to reveal images of giant animal and human-like creatures. The shavings of a pencil sharpener sparkle. As the boy continues to run, more sketches flash by. They depict mythical knights and beasts, some wielding weapons and some with wings. A close view soars at a sketched castle where animated trees grow. The freckly boy runs over a grassy field. Animated bug-like creatures fly toward him. A wide view shows the boy running through a hilly landscape with the sun hanging low in the sky. A glimpse of a sketchbook shows winged creatures flying near the long-haired giant. Through an overgrown field, the boy returns to his house. On the front porch, he fixes the duct tape on his sneaker, then takes them both off. He goes inside and drops the ragged shoes on the floor. A baby and three other children sit around the kitchen table.
Ellie, where's your cereal bowl?
I'm not hungry.
You need to eat something.
I'm not hungry,
You
Mom.
Need to have something before you go to school.
Okay, do you want some jelly on it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Watch it, Brenda. Don't mess my clothes up. Billy Baker's in my math class this year.
Oh, did he flunk too?
Shut up.
Hey.
You're one to talk.
Are you excited about your first day of school?
Yeah.
Brenda looks at her brother.
Ew, you stink.
Very
Mom, he stinks. We have a rule he's got to shower before he eats with us.
The boy watches an ant crawl across the table. Later, he walks downstairs with a backpack.
Maybell? Honey, here's your juice.
Thanks.
The boy looks around.
Okay, who hid my sneakers?
Jess, you could hardly call them sneakers anymore. I threw them out.
What? Mom!
I'm sorry, but I will not send any child of mine to school looking like some hobo. There's a perfectly good old pair of Brenda's that I put out for you.
She points to pink sneakers.
These are girls' ones.
It's a fan belt this time, but I got another.
The boy's father enters.
Ellie, honey, here you go.
What's the matter with you?
There's a big race today.
And?
My sneakers.
I've got a perfectly good pair for him to use.
Yeah, these are girls' ones. I can't race in these.
You couldn't race in your old ones either.
You need some new sneakers, Mary.
Mary takes her husband aside.
We don't have anything left for us right now. Excuse me.
Jess hangs his head.
They make them the same. You got your chores done?
Just about to.
It was way in back.
Jess takes a black marker from a drawer. On the front porch, he sits on a bench and colors over the pink areas of the shoes. He fills in stripes on the side, then the pink and white checkered shoelaces. In the greenhouse, Jess turns a wrench on a pipe. Water sprays him in the face. The boy spots a school bus parked on the road. He turns on sprinklers, then gets sprayed as he hurries out of the greenhouse. Jess runs to the bus, wiping water from his face. The driver looks at him.
I'm trying to keep my pit stops under 10 seconds, Ace.
At the back of the bus, a long-haired girl steals a lunch bag.
Hey, that's my lunch!
The thief sneers at Jess. As he starts to sit, the girl throws a sandwich at his back.
Okay, that's enough.
Consider it a free lunch program, farmer boy.
All right, settle down.
Good one, Janice.
What do you call your teacher again?
I want to tell Alexandra.
Monster Mouth, now scoot.
Alexandra, they call her Monster Mouth Myers.
I said scoot.
A few ground rules for this classroom. No talking, no chewing gum, no electronic devices. Be forewarned. If you download any essay off of the internet, you will be downloaded into detention. So, let's start the year off on the right foot, and all do our own work.
A dark-haired boy leans close to Jess.
Beep, 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 beep. Know what that is? My loser detector. Beep, beep, beep.
Jesse Ahrens. I got it from your sisters. I certainly do not need it from you. Man. That goes for you as well.
He hit me.
A red-haired boy looks at Jess.
You did me.
Scott Hoger and Gary Fulcher, be quiet. Now, back to what we were discussing before we were so rudely interrupted.
Sweet sneaks, Aaron. You wear your sister's hand-me-down underwear, too?
He asked you a question, Twinkle Toes.
A bald man leads in a blonde girl.
Good morning, kids. Welcome back. I hope you had a great summer. Mrs. Myers, this is Leslie Burke, who will be joining your class. Leslie, welcome to Lark Creek.
Thanks.
Thank you, Principal Turner.
The principal leaves.
Oh, Leslie, you'll just have to sit at my desk this morning until we figure out where to squeeze you in.
Leslie spills books from her bag.
I like to start out the year with a little fun. I want you all to write a one-page essay about your favorite hobby. Yes.
Mrs. Myers, when you say one page, did you mean both sides of the paper?
You can just do one side, Madison.
I'll do two.
On a crowded playground, Leslie walks to the restrooms. Janice blocks the door as she tries to enter.
Excuse me.
Got a dollar?
No.
Then you're gonna have to use your pants.
What's your problem?
You got that backwards, freak. You got the problem.
That's right, new girl.
Leslie looks at her sandals.
Nice feet.
You say something?
What I said was, have you ever heard the story about the trolls under the bridges who collect tolls from unlucky travelers?
Trolls? What is she talking about?
Nice try, Beanpole.
It's still a dollar.
Leslie glances between Janice and her friend, then walks off. Gathered on a field, the students participate in sporting events. Jess walks to a white starting line stretched between orange cones. He joins a few other boys. Stretching his legs, Jess stares ahead with determination.
Next grade, line up. Let's do this thing. Come on. Fulcher, Hoger, get in here.
Hoger and Fulcher join Jess at the line.
Come on.
Beep, 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 beep.
Back behind the line. You know how it goes. Back behind. Come on.
Leslie lines up as well.
Hey, new girl. This is just for guys. Hey, I'm talking to you.
What's the matter, Hoger? Afraid a girl's gonna beat you?
Leslie grins.
On your mark. Get set.
Get me.
Go.
The runners sprint across the field. Jess and Hoger lead the race with Leslie close behind.
Go, Hoger! Get out, Hoger!
Lining the path, students cheer on the runners. Jess glances at Hoger as they sprint side by side. Maybelle runs nearby. Jess pulls ahead. He wears a wide grin. Smiling, Leslie runs past him. Jess's grin fades. Leslie wins the race. A few students stare in shock. Jess collapses to the grass and Maybelle runs to his side.
Jess, did you win?
He shakes his head. Leslie walks over.
Jess, right?
She extends a hand. Jess stares at it, then climbs to his feet and walks away with Maybelle. Hoger punches Fulcher.
Idiot!
Now, the bus arrives home.
See you tomorrow.
10 seconds, Ace.
Jess and Maybelle step off. The bus starts away, then stops to allow Leslie off.
Thank you.
Are you following me?
No. I live over there.
We're neighbors? He got little sisters?
No. Just me.
Oh. You got any Barbies?
Yeah. I think I have a few. You got any?
Yeah. I have one. And a half.
And a half?
One got killed in half playing Super Extreme Barbies.
Never heard of that before.
You flush the toilet with them in it. You drop them from the upstairs window. Stuff like that. It's really fun.
Sounds like fun. Well, I'll see you around.
Yeah, see ya.
See ya.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, I'm just going to get some supplies. You want to come?
Yeah, sure.
See ya.
Leslie walks off with her bespectacled father. At home, Jess enters the kitchen.
She spilled it. How come it's my fault?
When I ask you to watch the baby, I mean watch the baby, Brenda.
It's Ellie's turn.
I'm doing my algebra.
Jess snatches popcorn from Ellie's bowl.
Hey!
Girls are going to have to start helping out a lot more around here. You're not little kids anymore.
In his bedroom, Jess flips through a sketchbook. He comes to a crude drawing of a crowned stick figure, then glares across the shared room.
Maybelle, how many times have I told you, stay out of my stuff?
It wasn't me.
It was to you.
Can't prove it.
Your mom,
here
are you too.
Daddy.
Sweetie, is he picking on you?
Jess's father looks at him.
She was in my stuff.
What stuff?
He hands over the sketchbook. His father sets Maybelle on the floor and flips through it.
How'd that race go?
There's this new girl moved in next door. She beat all of the boys, even Jess.
He hands the sketchbook back to Jess.
Make sure you take out the garbage before supper.
In the greenhouse.
One drop. And that's the magic. Here comes Maybelle's flowers.
Jess carries a bucket outside.
Are these ever going to grow?
This greenhouse is going to be filled with your purple flowers. Maybelle's flowers.
Jess dumps the bucket in a compost bin. He spies on his father and Maybelle.
They are so cool.
I think these things are going to grow fast.
Me too.
Bet you come out here tomorrow, it's going to be filled with them.
Yeah.
At school, a dark-haired teacher wheels a cart. Jess remains seated, staring at the teacher.
May I please play the castanets?
Leslie looks at Jess.
Everybody ready for music?
Take a picture. Last longer.
It's awfully quiet. Old MacDonald had a farm.
No!
No! You don't like that song?
No!
Then make some noise! Come on!
Miss Edmonds sits at a piano. Jess stares at her intently. Jess continues to stare intently.
Why can't we be friends?
On the bus, Janice and her friends tease a young girl. Jess sits behind Leslie, drawing fish in his sketchbook. The blonde girl watches him draw. He notices and quickly closes the sketchbook. Leslie offers Jess a stick of chewing gum. He takes a piece and she smiles.
Just saw this video yesterday. Change it! Give it to me!
Stop it, you guys. You're always fighting.
At home, Jess watches his parents talking at the kitchen table.
We just can't keep going like this.
Honey, I've only got what I've got to work with.
You gotta figure it out. Get down on this.
I know it's a problem, but I'm going to try and get down this. Maybe you can pick up another shift at the store.
Jess's father spots his son watching him.
Me.
At school, the bullies shove Jess. Leslie holds his sketchbook.
Wow. You're really good at drawing. Like, better than any kid I've ever seen.
Oh, thanks.
She returns the book later in class.
I want to share this composition for two reasons. One, it uses adjectives well. And two, it's clear the author paid attention to what she saw and what she was feeling, which is important for any writing. Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus by Leslie Burke. Leslie, why don't you read it for us?
With a smile, Leslie goes to the front of the class and takes her paper from the teacher.
I'm moving gently forward over the wild and beautiful unexplored world below me. I'm floating in silence and breaking it up with the sound of my breath. Above me, there's nothing but shimmery light, the place where I have come from and will go back to when I am done here. I'm diving. I'm a scuba diver.
Jess stares intently.
I'm going deeper past the wrinkled rocks and dark seaweed toward a deep blueness where a school of silver fish wait.
Fish twinkle in his eye.
As I swim through the water, bubbles burst from me.
Jess imagines the bubbles.
Wobbling like little jellyfish as they rise. I check my air. I don't have as much time as I need to see everything, but that is what makes it so special.
Thank you, Leslie. Now, tonight at 7 on Channel 4, there is a special about an undersea explorer, Dr. Bob Ballard. I want everyone to watch and write one page about what you've learned. Leslie.
What if you can't watch this program?
If you inform your parents it's an assignment, I'm sure they won't object.
But what if you don't have a TV? Dad says the TV kills your brain cells.
Your dad doesn't know anything. We watch TV, like, every day.
I rest my case.
Well then, Leslie, you don't have to write this essay. You can pick something else to write about.
Yeah, like how to live in a cave.
Well, that's enough, Mr. Hoger.
On the bus, Jess walks to his seat. He watches girls confront Leslie outside.
Hey, Leslie, what are you going to write your essay on?
Bats in the caves?
Frowning, Leslie walks away from the girls and enters the bus. She walks down the aisle and sits in the back row.
Here comes Janice.
New kids in Janice's seat.
She thinks she's doing.
Jess, the big kids will kill her.
Jess runs to Leslie.
Do you have a death wish? The back row's for eighth graders.
That's right, Beanful. Move it. Out of my way, farm boy.
Janice pushes Jess aside. Leslie climbs over seats to sit beside him. They share a timid look. At their stop, Jess, Maybelle, and Leslie exit the bus. Leslie waves at Janice as it drives off. The bully sneers.
You're really asking for it.
Seems to me she gives it out whether you ask for it or not. So might as well have some fun.
Getting Janice all wound up is a weird way of having fun.
Well, what's your idea of having fun?
I don't know.
Well, you want to do something?
I don't know.
Let's do something. Definitely. What should we do?
You can't do it.
Do what?
What we're doing.
Leslie smiles at Jess. With a sad look, Maybelle starts to walk off.
Hey, Maybelle. I don't use my Barbies so much anymore. If you want, you can have them.
To keep for permanent?
Sure.
Thanks.
Leslie smiles. Maybelle continues off.
You're lucky to have a sister.
Yeah, I got four of them and I trade them all for a good dog.
I'd love to have a dog.
Now let's go before she changes her mind.
Race to the end of the road. On your mark, set, go!
They drop their bags and sprint down the dirt road. Jess and Leslie leap over a downed log and run across a grassy field. They go down a hill and into the woods.
Come on, Dad.
The kids stop themselves against a large tree. Jess picks up a pine cone and throws it.
What about sharks? You ever see any sharks while you're scubaing or whatever?
I've never gone scuba diving my whole life.
You lied in your essay?
No, I made it up. It's different from lying.
They walk across a log.
Those drawings you made. You really seen all those things yourself?
No, but...
Leslie smiles and gives him a playful punch. She spots a rope hanging from a tree.
Hey, look at that. Cool.
That's been there forever. I wouldn't trust it.
Come on, just try it.
The rope hangs over a calm, murky creek. Leslie picks up a long stick and steps to the edge of a steep bank. She reaches out, hooks the rope, and pulls it close.
You got it?
Jess hands the rope to Leslie. She tugs on it, then climbs up the bank.
What are you doing?
Getting up higher.
Standing on a log, Leslie smiles at Jess. She swings back and forth.
Wow, that was so much fun. You have to try it. Come on.
She hands Jess the rope. He climbs onto the log and readies himself. Jess swings across the creek. Landing safely with a smile, he gives the rope to Leslie. She climbs onto the log and takes another turn. Gazing upward, Leslie beams as she swings back and forth across the creek. She glances over her shoulder at Jess, then lands on the bank in front of him.
Your head hang back and watch the clouds. Feels like flying.
Jess takes the rope, climbs onto the log, and swings. With a broad grin, Jess gazes skyward as he goes. He returns to the bank beside Leslie. He hands her the rope.
Us.
Hmm?
You know, where there's no Janice Avery's or Scott Hookers.
Yeah, but we'll go back to school. Barely are waiting.
Yeah, but someplace better than just not being at school. What if there was a magical kingdom that only we knew about?
I don't know. What if?
Okay, well, what if the only way we could enter it is by swinging on this enchanted rope?
Enchanted rope?
Leslie readies herself, then swings roughly 15 feet to the brush on the opposite bank.
Leslie!
She slips out of view.
Leslie!
Jess climbs on the log and swings across. He goes into the brush and climbs up the bank to a clearing.
Leslie!
Jess peers down a path through the woods. Leslie steps out from behind a tree.
Come on!
Wait up!
Jess hesitantly proceeds. Overhead, a squirrel chews a branch. The tall trees sway in the wind. Jess glances over his shoulder, then scans the dense forest around him. He continues down the path. A deer hops over a nearby log. Jess picks up a stick. He runs ahead. Leslie pops out.
We shouldn't be in here. This isn't our land.
Not so loud. They'll hear you.
What are you talking about?
Holding the stick, Jess follows her. Leslie spots a rusted, overgrown pickup truck.
Hey, what's that?
They jog to the old vehicle.
Whoa, Jess, look at this. Wow.
She peers through the broken passenger window.
Too bad for them. They got so close.
What are you talking about?
To the kingdom.
What's that?
What?
That sound, I've heard it before. Someone's out there.
That's the sound of the prisoners rattling their chains.
What prisoners?
The prisoners of the Dark Master.
Jess turns to find part of a tree that resembles a creature.
We should go.
Wait, Jess, look!
What is it?
The kids hurry ahead. In the distance, Jess spots a dark figure moving between trees.
Look at this!
Leslie leads Jess to the ruins of a massive treehouse.
Wow! This is amazing!
Jess examines a vine-covered tree trunk.
Wow.
Amazed, the friends gaze upon the rickety structure. Leslie climbs a slanted log leading up into the treehouse.
This is it.
A knotted rope lies along the tree. Jess uses it to pull himself up behind Leslie. As they examine the old treehouse, Leslie notices a pair of fluttering dragonflies nearby.
Warriors.
Try dragonflies.
No, they're warriors. From the treetop provinces.
I don't know this game.
What game? This is for real.
Leslie climbs a wooden ladder.
This is the ruins. The once great fortress. Whose people have been imprisoned.
She reaches a higher platform.
Jess, you and I have been sent to free them.
Prisoners of the Dark Master, hear me. We have come to free you. Do you hear us? Show me that you hear us.
Jess looks around as strong wind blows the tall trees.
You just got lucky timing. The wind's been blowing off and on all day.
The wind gusts again. Jess and Leslie both grin. Her chin-length blonde hair flaps in the breeze. At dusk, the kids run back across the grassy field. Nighttime. In his room, Jess sits on his bed gazing out the window. The next day, Jess, Leslie, and Maybelle arrive home on the school bus. Yeah,
yeah. I'll
see
you soon.
Okay.
Maybelle heads home. Dropping their bags, Jess and Leslie race down the dirt road. In the woods, they drag a sled full of boards to the treehouse. They hoist supplies up into the structure, then work together on making improvements. Jess saws a board and Leslie nails down a tarp. The friends carry boxes of snacks and other items through the woods. Leslie sets a box of art supplies in the treehouse. The two of them stand on the main platform, gazing at the woods. At school, Miss Edmonds strums a guitar. The young teacher smiles at her students.
Some say I'll put her on the interstate and never look back. Someday I'm finally gonna let go.
Jess and Leslie share a smile as they sing. Outside, Miss Edmonds carries boxes of musical instruments to her car.
Hey, don't you think we should give her a hand?
Jess glances at the teacher anxiously.
She's fine.
Beep, 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 beep.
Now, Jess boards the bus. Leslie slides to a window and he sits beside her. They share a grin. Janice enters the bus. As she marches past them, the bully trips and falls.
Problem.
Jess Ahrens tripped me. On purpose.
Okay, Ahrens. Hit the road.
He didn't do anything.
Go.
Jess leaves his seat. Janice sneers at him. He glances back from the front of the bus. She gives him a nod and walks to the back. Later, Jess walks along his street. Leslie sits near the mailboxes, splattered with red stains.
What happened to you?
Janice Avery is a very talented person. She can shoot ketchup packets over four rows of seats.
Jeez.
Can I wash up at your house? My mom sees this and she'll be all over the principal and everybody, and my life will be over.
In Jess's house, Leslie exits the bathroom. His mom spots them from the kitchen.
Oh, hello.
Mom, this is Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. You too.
So, are you and your family getting settled in okay?
Yes, ma'am.
That's nice.
See you later.
Not too late, okay, honey?
Weird and weirder.
Hey, be glad he's found a friend.
In the treehouse.
Where's your dad work?
At home. Same as my mom. They're writers.
Writers? What do they write about?
Fiction.
That explains you.
What do you mean?
Well, you like to make things up, and that's what your parents do for a living.
You know a lot about hardware?
No. Why?
Well, your dad works at a hardware store.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that you are who you are, not your parents.
Well, if they work at your house, you must get to hang out with them a lot.
Not really.
A pine cone falls on the treehouse.
What's that?
Grenade!
There are no grenades here!
Jess tosses away a pine cone and the kids duck inside.
Come on!
A squirrel leaps overhead.
Squirrels!
Part squirrel, part Scott Hoger.
Squoger.
Squoger! The sneaky foot soldiers of the Dark Master.
More pine cones fall.
They're attacking!
We need ammo!
As they rush outside, birds circle overhead. The kids climb down and Jess gathers pine cones in his shirt.
This is not good.
Leslie throws a pine cone.
See him up there?
Yeah.
Do you? Really?
Yeah.
The squirrel becomes a larger creature wearing a round hat. It leaps at Jess. He punches it away. Grinning, Jess studies his fist.
Leslie?
He runs off.
Leslie!
She sits in a tree.
Come on, you can see the whole kingdom from up here.
Jess makes a magical leap to join her.
Isn't this cool? We can do anything here.
As she climbs to the top, he jumps from branch to branch, seeming to defy gravity. Leslie gazes out at snow-capped mountains and a twisting river.
Look at it. It's all ours. From the mountains to the oceans.
Jess sees only grassy hills.
What am I looking for exactly?
You'll see. Just close your eyes, but keep your mind wide open.
Jess shuts his eyes. He opens them to find the majestic mountainous landscape.
What do we call this place?
Terabithia.
At home, Jess lies on his bed drawing.
Shh, everybody tiptoe.
His family pulls aside a curtain.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jess. Happy birthday to you.
Make a wish. Happy
birthday. Happy birthday.
What'd you wish for?
In the living room, Jess and his father play with a race car set. One car flies off the track.
This is cheap junk.
No, it isn't. I love it.
How can you love something that doesn't even work?
I don't think we have the hang of it yet, Dad.
You know what? Keep the box and we'll see if we can take it back.
Maybelle runs inside.
Daddy, there's something in the greenhouse.
Her dad heads out. In the greenhouse, he and Jess clean up broken pots.
It's the last thing I need. Some animal chewing its way in here.
What are you going to do if you catch it?
Well, these vegetables are part of our livelihood. We can't afford to share them with any animal to get in here.
Jess barricades a hole.
So you're going to kill it?
Have to.
His father baits a trap with an apple.
Whoa. Well, he's not gonna get in here now. Right, Dad?
Hope not. But if he does, you just let me deal with it.
Is anything else I can help you with?
No, why don't you go on and do your homework? I'll clean this mess up.
Jess hesitates, then walks off. On the bus, he sits in front of Leslie. She taps him on the shoulder.
Under the seat.
She slides a case under Jess's seat with her foot, and he picks it up.
I heard it was your birthday yesterday.
He opens the case to find an assortment of paints and brushes.
Like it?
It must have cost a fortune.
What's it matter what it costs?
I don't know.
Well, I can take it back and get a cheaper one if you want.
Thanks. A lot.
Jess and Leslie.
Leslie covers Maybelle's mouth. At school, Jess spots Hoger and Fulcher.
Look, the Squoker and the Vulture.
Hey, here he comes.
And a guy who can stand up to a Squoker is scared of a Hoger?
Miss Edmonds unloads boxes from her car.
Miss Edmonds?
He speaks.
Can I help you with those?
You sure can. And you just made my day.
Jess picks up boxes.
Great. Ooh, I'll get that one.
Thank you.
Leslie takes another. They carry them inside past Hoger and Fulcher.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hi, boys.
In the treehouse, Leslie hammers down a board as Jess watches.
How come you're so good at that?
Good at what?
Building stuff. I mean, you're really good at it for a girl.
Same way I am fast. For a girl.
You know what I mean.
You're pretty good at art. For a boy.
Okay, truce.
Jess paints a map on a piece of cloth. Leslie grabs a tin from a shelf.
Don't your parents ever notice any of the stuff's missing?
Not when they're in the middle of writing a book. What's that?
Leslie goes outside.
Show yourselves!
Pine cones drop from above. A tree slowly falls toward the treehouse. A branch pierces the cloth covering a window.
It's a giant troll. No, it's a giant tree that almost killed us.
You think that tree just fell all by itself? Come on. When the Dark Master saw that the Squogers weren't scaring us away, he sent a giant troll.
Uh-oh, how big?
Leslie spots something ahead.
Whoa.
They jog to a massive footprint.
That's how big its feet are.
You really think so?
What else could it be?
What should we do?
They examine the footprint, then scan the area.
If we had a troll hunter, we could track its scent and sneak up on it.
Hey, look at that! Come on!
Jess spots another footprint by a crushed log.
I think it went that way.
We rule Terabithia, and nothing crushes us!
Jess stares at Leslie, who gives him a smile.
I'll race you to the rope.
They race through the woods with super speed.
I love this place!
In his bedroom, Jess switches on a light and sits up in bed. Outside, he carries a trapped animal from the greenhouse. He sets the cage in the woods and opens the door.
Go on, get out of here. And don't come back.
The small animal wanders into the trees. Jess carries the empty trap back to the greenhouse. Working inside, his father looks over.
What do you think you're doing?
I took care of it for you.
Did you now? How'd you do that?
I took him way into the forest. He's not coming back now, Dad, I promise.
What, did he tell you he's going to stay the hell out of the greenhouse?
No, just trust me, he went out there. He has not come.
Jess, you need to understand something, okay? This is not one of your cartoons or whatever. This is just a pest that eats up our food, money we earn, and time we don't have.
Okay.
Now get your head out of the clouds and do as I say.
Okay.
The freckly boy sulks out. In music class, Jess sits at his desk with his hands folded. His classmates all sing together. Nighttime. Using a flashlight, Jess lies under covers in bed, drawing in his sketchbook. His father enters and kisses the baby in her crib. Jess peeks out.
Good night, sweetheart.
His father tucks in Maybelle and kisses her.
Sweet dreams. Lights out, Jess.
Night, Dad.
In the morning, Jess sits in front of Leslie on the bus. He stares off in thought.
You slaying the giant troll after school today?
You've got your head in the clouds, Leslie.
Huh?
There is no giant troll, right?
Well, you better not let the Terabithians hear you. They thought you were their king.
The bus stops by a vegetable stand. A scruffy white dog with black eye patches sits in a box. A sign reads, "Adopt a dog." Jess gazes at it. In the schoolyard, he sits on a bench as Maybelle skips past.
And they don't want Squish because I didn't put them next to my drink.
I should have bought those Twinkies if I were you.
You're just mad because I got some and you didn't.
Whatever. Just don't come crying to me when you lose them.
I'm going to eat them, not lose them.
She walks off. Jess spots Janice nearby. Later, Maybelle runs.
Janice Avery stole my Twinkies!
What did I tell you, Maybelle? You should have kept your mouth shut.
She's over there. What are you going to do about it?
She makes you pay to pee.
They all look at Janice.
$2, shorty.
I don't have a dollar.
That's not fair, is it? Peeing's definitely supposed to be free.
Free the pee. 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 Free the pee.
Leslie leads the younger children to the bathrooms. Jess follows. Maybelle approaches Janice.
Free the pee! Free the pee!
I want my Twinkies, Janice Avery.
What Twinkies, Twinkie?
You're supposed to beat her up. You're my brother.
Belle, do you know what happened if I were to pick a fight with her?
You'll get your butt kicked.
No, I'll get kicked out of school for fighting a girl. What's that gonna prove?
She stole my Twinkies.
Jess pauses, then leads her away.
Come on.
It's all right, Maybelle. We'll get her back. Won't we, Jess?
Nighttime. At home, Jess sketches in bed.
Don't let the Terabithians hear you. They thought you were their king.
He sets down the sketchbook and switches off a lamp. At school, Jess tosses Leslie a note in the hall. She unfolds it to find an illustrated poster reading, "Giant troll hunting season begins today." Later, in the woods,
Jess! Jess!
Leslie runs to the rope and swings across the creek. She finds Jess on the other side holding the white, scruffy dog.
Oh, hi! Look at you!
That is your very own certified purebred giant troll hunter.
Oh, he's for me?
Yeah, and he just took a giant pee all over my sweatshirt.
Wow, Jess. Thank you.
Holding the dog, Leslie hugs Jess.
I name you Prince Tarion, giant troll hunter extraordinaire. TT for short.
The dog circles them.
Hey, I think he smells a troll. Come on.
They chase PT as he runs through the woods. Jess glances upward.
Oh no, we got company.
Mean-looking birds swoop down on them. They fly away.
What's that?
Jess and Leslie walk to a pair of tall, narrow tree trunks.
It's a giant troll.
One tree's roots rise above ground, revealing a giant foot.
Nice feet.
The other foot steps forward.
Run!
Jess and Leslie flee as the giant troll chases.
Oh my gosh!
They follow PT through a clearing. Leslie pauses and Jess bends over to catch his breath.
I think we lost him.
Leslie.
They spot another tree-like giant.
What's its weak spot?
Does this thing even have a weak spot?
I don't know.
PT digs between the troll's large toes.
Just making it matter. PT! That's it! That's its weak spot.
It's ticklish.
Gross.
Troll toe jam.
Good boy, PT. Good boy.
Good dog.
Jess takes a mossy clump from PT and the giant troll fades out of view.
What's Janice's weak spot, you think?
Later, in the treehouse.
Eighth grade girl. Probably eighth grade boys. Who's she got a crush on?
I don't know.
Let's see. Coolest boy in eighth grade is probably Willard Hughes.
That's it.
What's it?
Okay. Right. Dear Janice.
You do it.
No, wait. Boy's handwriting sucks. No offense. It's gotta be you.
Jess flips a page in a notebook.
Okay. Dear Janice, you're the most amazing and beautiful person I've ever known.
How do I know which desk is hers?
It's the one with dried up blood and dusty old bones.
Jess searches the desks in a classroom.
I do not know if you know this about me, but I need to tell you. I think you are so cool. You are the coolest over all the other girls in our school.
Okay, write this. Let's find out if what I think we have is real.
A janitor enters and Jess ducks behind a desk.
Oh, Mr. Bailey.
Huh?
I was looking for you.
Me? Why?
I think someone threw up in the girls' room.
All right, I'll take a look.
The janitor wheels his cart out of the classroom.
Meet me by the bus after school today. We can ride home together and talk about us. Underline and capitalize the S. All my love, Willard.
Jess finds Janice's notebook and slips the letter inside.
You know if we get caught, they're both gonna kill us.
After school, Janice waits outside her bus. Jess takes a seat beside Leslie. They watch as Janice approaches some boys.
Willard Hughes is going to ride Janice home today.
What are you talking about?
Willard and Janice. They're totally in love.
Your dreams.
Hey.
Well, you better tell Willard that, because it looks like he's heading home in his own bus.
Kids crowd the bus windows. Janice stands alone with a somber expression. Leslie grins. Janice enters the bus.
Hey, Janice. What happened? Didn't Willard know he's totally in love with you?
Janice pauses at the front. She sulks to the back. Maybelle turns to Leslie and Jess with a questioning look. They both nod at the young girl.
What just happened? We just walked away.
Maybelle smiles to herself. At their stop, the kids exit the bus.
Yes.
You want to go? Can't.
It's a free country!
Don't you dare follow us, or I'll tell Alexandra that you still suck your thumb and sleep with Mr. Blanky.
Jess catches up with Leslie.
So what do you say?
They must have finished their book.
How do you know?
Hey, Leslie! We need your help!
Come on!
Leslie rushes to her house, and Jess follows. Inside, her mother paints a wall.
Hey, Mom!
Hey, Leslie, come on!
All right, let's go. We're on a mission.
Hey, this is my friend Jess. Can he help?
So you're the infamous Jess. Hi, I'm Judy. Leslie tells me you're good with a paintbrush. Why don't you grab one and get going? Come on. I am determined to have this wall finished, so when the late sun hits it, we can watch it catch fire.
They paint the wall gold. Jess edges a window.
Now that's one steady hand, Jess. That's an artist's hand. Am I right?
He grins.
Yeah.
You know, the best prize that life offers is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. That's Teddy Roosevelt said that, not me.
Goofing around, Leslie and her father dance while they paint together. PT trots around. Jess watches Leslie and her dad with a smile.
Nothing's ever worse.
Leslie mixes a bucket of paint, and P.T. brings her a brush in his mouth. She and her father mess around with paint rollers, then dance some more. Jess grins, watching them. Later, they all sit on the floor with a bowl of popcorn, admiring the golden walls.
Wow.
What did I tell you? Was it worth it?
Leslie and Jess share a grin. She offers him popcorn. He takes some, then gazes at the walls. At dusk, Jess walks home with a smile. He spots his father's pickup truck in the driveway. Pausing, the boy's expression becomes serious. He enters the house to find his parents looking over bills at the kitchen table.
Hey, guys.
Jess, get started on your homework, okay?
I'm going to be managing the store on weekends starting in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to need you to pick up on some chores around here.
You know, the best prize that life can offer is working hard at work worth doing.
He bites an apple and walks off. At school, Hoger and Fulcher bump into Jess. Jess falls. As he collects his belongings, Miss Edmonds picks up his open sketchbook.
Hey. Have you taken art classes?
No, I just made them up myself.
You're really talented. Jess, don't let those other kids get in your way.
Jess runs to the door and opens it for her.
Oh, here you go.
Thank you.
In the hall, Jess opens his locker and Leslie approaches.
I just went to use the girls' room. Someone's in one of the stalls crying their eyes out, and I think it's Janice Avery.
It can't still be that trick you played on her, can it?
No way. But come here.
They walk down the hall to the girls' bathroom.
See the bee!
Get out of here! Get out of here now!
A young girl runs off.
You should go talk to her.
You kidding?
That's not like a skinny knee crying. That's like crying about something serious. Besides, the girl's bathroom. I can't go in there.
Well, I don't want to go in there alone.
What's the matter? A girl who can stand up to a giant troll is afraid of some dumb eighth grader?
Leslie takes a deep breath, then goes inside. Later, in music class. Jess smiles at Miss Edmonds as he sings.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it all done. Someday, when your head is much lighter.
Leslie rushes in.
Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of the
Go on, tell me.
No, I don't want to tell you.
Someday. Why not?
I'll tell you there.
Boarding the bus, Janice stares at her friends in the back seat, then sits up front. Jess and Leslie watch Janice with sympathetic looks. In a grassy field, the friends walk with P.T.
Her dad gets really mad at her.
So? My dad gets mad at me. Pretty much all the time.
He hits her.
Oh.
And some neighbor heard them yelling so loud that they called the police. And it got out. And all the 7th and the 8th graders know about it.
Whoa.
Which explains, like, a lot.
They use a swing hanging from the treehouse.
Well, what did you say to her?
Well, I told her about not having a TV and everyone laughing at me. And that I know what it's like to have everyone think I was weird.
Then what'd she say?
She asked me for advice.
Janice Avery asked you for advice?
Yeah.
And?
Well, I told her just to pretend that she had no idea what anyone was talking about. And in a few weeks' time, everybody would just forget about it.
Rain falls.
Man.
Then I gave her a piece of gum.
We should go.
Yeah. Wanna come back tomorrow?
I can't, I got chores.
How about the next day?
Sunday, we go to church.
Can I come?
You'd hate it.
No, I think it'd be cool.
Girls can't wear pants.
I've got dresses, Jess.
You in a dress? That'd be a sight. See ya.
In a church, Jess and Leslie sing with the congregation. Jess eyes Leslie's light blue dress, then spots her black high-top sneakers. A beam of blue light shines through a stained glass window. Leslie opens her pocketbook and catches the light inside it. Later, she leaves the church with Jess's family. Leslie glances at the bell tower.
That's what we need, bells, in Terabithia.
Now, Jess, Leslie, and Maybelle ride in the pickup truck's bed.
I'm really glad I came. That whole Jesus thing. It's really interesting, isn't it?
It's not interesting. It's scary. It's nailing holes through our hands. It's because we're all vile sinners. God made Jesus die.
You really think that's true?
It's in the Bible, Leslie.
You have to believe it, and you hate it. I don't have to believe it, and I think it's beautiful.
You gotta believe the Bible, Leslie.
Why?
Because if you don't believe in the Bible, God will damn it to hell when you die.
Wow, Maybelle. Where'd you hear that?
That's right, huh, Jess? God damns it hell if you don't believe in the Bible.
I think so.
Well, I don't think so. I seriously do not think God goes around damning people to hell. He's too busy running all this.
Leslie spreads her arms. In his room, Jess draws a bell on a picture of the treehouse.
Hey, Jess! Give me a hand!
Yeah, I'm coming.
In the hall, his father stands on a ladder.
Get my drill out of the greenhouse.
He hands Jess a set of keys. In the greenhouse, the boy unlocks a cabinet. He opens the door and items spill out. Jess takes a drill from the cabinet and closes the door. He finds Maybelle tending her flowers.
You haven't managed to kill those things yet?
Not funny. Look.
Ever thought of putting him in the sun?
Maybelle drops liquid onto the flowers. Jess walks off. The young girl sets the wilted plants on a shelf. In the morning, Jess lies asleep in bed surrounded by sketches. His father wakes him.
Jess! Jess! Where are my keys?
What?
My keys. You never gave them back to me.
Groggily, Jess sits up in bed and searches a pair of jeans on the floor. Now he searches the greenhouse.
Thank!
I put the drill down right here. They gotta
damn
be...
Damn it, Jess. The keys to the store on there, the register, all of them. They have to replace those locks at $600-$700 out of my paycheck.
They gotta be right around here.
If I don't have those keys to open up this weekend...
I'll find them, Dad, I promise.
Why don't you just draw me some damn money to pay for it? How about that? Make yourself useful and draw me some damn money.
I said I'll find them.
Jess locks eyes with his father. Later on the bus...
I didn't
know. You look awful. What's the matter?
I lost the keys when my dad goes to work. And now he has to get new keys made and locks.
Maybelle?
And...
Please don't anyone get mad at me!
What?
Hey, Jess, I know where your dad's keys are.
You do?
You know, the bells we talked about making. Well, it was meant to be a surprise. All that clanking metal and junk. And Maybelle wanted to help.
And you let her?
Maybelle, why did you tell me you found the keys on the ground?
They were on the ground.
Yeah, on the ground in the greenhouse. What's the matter with you? Dad's ready to kill me.
I was waiting for the right time.
Maybelle sinks in her seat.
So you know where the keys are?
Leslie nods and Jess exhales in relief. At school, Hoger and Fulcher run past Jess. Later, the bus arrives at Jess's stop.
See you later.
He hands Maybelle his backpack.
Tell Mom I'll be home in a little bit.
Are you gonna tell Dad it was me?
Don't worry. It's my job to get Dad's keys back. See you later.
In the woods, frothy water flows rapidly down the creek. Jess and Leslie run to the bank and stare at the current wide-eyed.
Whoa. Look how high it got. Come on. Let's go.
They swing across. The bottom of the rope touches the water as they go.
Get your head out of the clouds, boy. Draw me some money. Make yourself useful and draw me some money.
What are you going on about?
This isn't one of your cartoons. This is serious.
Yes. I mean, what's so great about being serious all the time anyway? Tell me that.
In the distance, a dark figure vaporizes in a puff of smoke. Jess and Leslie spot it.
What if the Dark Master gets to the keys first?
I'm not scared of any Dark Master, and those are my dad's keys.
A squogger leaps into the kid's path. The furry squirrel creature tears up roots, knocking Jess and Leslie to their backs. The kids start to run away, but the squogger catches up.
Leslie, get behind me.
Two more squoggers surround them.
Jess, turn around. There's more.
Jess tosses her a stick.
Here, take this.
He picks up another stick and twirls it. A squogger knocks him down.
Jess!
One of the creatures pushes Leslie down, and she fends it off with her stick. A squogger bites Jess's stick, flinging him across the clearing.
Get him.
The dog bites the creature's backside. Leslie kicks it into a tree.
Good boy, P.T.
Jess ducks a leaping squogger. He looks down as an armored gauntlet forms on his hand. Jess punches the creatures away. He rushes over to Leslie.
Yeah!
The kids duck as two hairy vultures swoop by.
Run!
Come on, faster!
They race through the forest with the vultures on their tail. They pick up pine cones and throw them like grenades at the birds.
Hold you there, grenade.
A vulture catches up to Leslie. Using its talons, it snatches her by the shoulders.
Jess!
Jess grabs her.
I got you, Leslie! I got you! Up ahead! Get ready!
The vulture flies into a branch. It falls to the ground, and the kids keep running.
They'll catch us!
Leslie, we're the fastest in Terabithia.
They zip through the woods. The kids slow down, then spot the smoky figure vaporizing.
Is he watching us?
Jess glances into the treetops.
Where are the keys?
Here. Open this.
He opens Leslie's pocketbook, and a beam of brilliant blue light shines upward. It illuminates a wind chime of metal items, including the keys. A group of squoggers scurries toward the kids. They back to the treehouse.
Where are Terabithian warriors when you need them?
I don't know.
Leslie spots a small winged soldier fluttering in the air.
Great, now there's three of us.
A swarm of armored bug-like creatures arrives, brandishing tiny swords and axes. Leslie grins.
Wow.
Now we're even.
The winged warriors swarm the squoggers, forcing the furry creatures to retreat. A group of them flutter around a squogger's face, poking it with their weapons. The tiny warriors attack the vultures.
Come on!
Come on, P.T.
More vultures circle the treehouse. Using the knotted rope, Jess ascends the central trunk. He jumps to another trunk and continues his climb. Leslie watches from below. In the sky, two vultures dive. A bug-like warrior spots them and flies off. Jess nears the keys on the wind chime.
Be careful! You're almost there!
The warrior attacks one of the swooping vultures, but the other flies by Jess, knocking him from the tree.
Jess!
Jess plummets to the ground. A giant moss-covered hand catches him and gently lifts him to the treehouse. The hand drops Jess behind Leslie. The kids gaze at the giant troll.
Hey.
Its long hair and round face resembles Janice's. Jess and Leslie share an amazed look, and the giant troll walks off through the trees. Jess opens his hand, revealing his father's keys. Now, the kids walk through the woods with P.T. Rain falls, and they hurry to the creek. Jess holds P.T. in his coat. Leslie takes the rope and swings across the high water. She tosses the rope back to Jess, who makes his swing. Later, they jog down the road.
See ya!
Yeah, see ya!
Leslie runs off, carrying PT. Smiling, she glances back at Jess and waves. He pauses in the road to gaze at her. Jess smiles as he stares after his cheerful blonde friend. At home, Jess enters the kitchen and sets the keys on the table in front of his father. He walks off. His father gazes after him with a pensive expression. In the morning, Jess's father carries a food container to his pickup truck. In the house, Maybelle runs to Jess's bed with a phone in hand.
Jess! I called you 3 times!
It's your girlfriend.
She's not my girlfriend.
Hey.
Hello, Jess.
Wait, who is this?
I know it's a Saturday, but it's your teacher, Miss Edmonds. I was planning on taking my nephews into the city to the museum, and my sister changed her plans last minute, so I had a thought.
Jess runs downstairs and finds his mom in bed.
Hey, Mom.
Is it the baby?
No, she's fine. Mabel's got her. Teacher wants me to go on a field trip today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
His mother goes back to sleep.
Miss Edmonds? Yeah, I can go.
Outside, Jess jogs to Miss Edmonds' car. He climbs in the passenger seat with a smile.
All set?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
The teacher drives off. Jess gazes out the window at Leslie's house.
Forget something?
No, I'm good.
Miss Edmonds drives through the countryside, exchanging a smile with Jess. They reach a busy highway and enter the city. Later, they climb the steps of a colonnaded museum. Jess gazes at the grand building as they approach. They enter through rotating glass doors. Jess stares in awe as they arrive in an art gallery. He admires the walls of framed paintings. Jess approaches a large painting of villagers in a bustling town square.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's Bruegel. It's one of my favorites. I wonder if he started out in notebooks like you. I know Da Vinci did.
They pause before a portrait of a woman holding a small dog.
It's amazing how much detail is put into it.
You've been to a museum before, right?
No, it's my first time.
Really?
Yep.
Well, then I'm honored.
In another room, they admire an installation of a wooden figure hanging from a pyramid-shaped parachute. The exhibit displays other wooden contraptions. Jess turns the crank on a device, causing a hammer to strike a surface. Miss Edmonds watches him and smiles. She turns a crank on another device, spinning a circle of dangling wooden spheres. Jess flips through a large book of sketches depicting masculine profiles. Seated in a cafe, Miss Edmonds pours tea.
Such a nice day out. It's been raining so much this month, I was beginning to think it was like that Japanese myth where the sun goes into the cave and vows never to come out.
You know about everything.
Not by a long shot, but I do try to keep an open mind, and you'd be surprised what finds its way in there.
That's what Leslie Burke says. She told me to keep my mind wide open.
Leslie Burke is right. Mind like yours wide open, you could create a whole new world.
Jess gazes at his teacher, then glances off. Later, she parks on the street outside Jess's house.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Maybe we could do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
Jess steps out of the car. At home.
Hey, guys.
See, I told you.
Oh, my God, Jess.
Jess's tearful mother hugs him.
Where in God's name have you been?
Where have you been?
Mom, I asked you. It wasn't like a...
They thought you were dead.
Brenda, hush.
Dead? What's going on?
The whole family appears distraught. The boy looks to his father, who exchanges a glance with his wife.
Your friend Leslie is dead. She drowned in a creek this morning. Apparently she tried to swing across on a rope and it broke. They think she hit her head.
No, it's not that kind of rope. It couldn't break. It wouldn't have.
But it did.
Jess's father approaches him.
I'm sorry, son.
No, you're lying. She's not even dead. You're lying.
Jess!
Jess runs outside. He finds two police cars on the front lawn of Leslie's home. In his house, Jess rushes into his bedroom. He barricades the door with a dresser, then takes off his coat and opens a chest. Pulling out the sketchbook, he flips to a drawing of Leslie. Jess pauses, his sad gaze fixed on the drawing. Later, Jess's father slides the door open and slips into the bedroom. He moves the dresser back in place, then finds Jess lying on his side in bed. He puts the boy's things into the chest. Gazing at his son, he sets the chest aside. He gently moves the sleeping boy off his sketchbook, then moves it away. He pulls off Jess's sneakers and takes down a blanket functioning as a curtain. The father drapes the blanket over his sleeping son. In the morning, Jess's mother flips pancakes in the kitchen. Jess comes downstairs.
Hi, honey. You want some breakfast?
I gotta do my chores first.
Your dad's doing everything today. You just sit down.
Jess hesitates, then sits at the kitchen table with his sisters. He takes a pancake and sets it on his plate. He and Maybelle share a glance. Jess's father sits beside him.
Jess, your father and I thought we'd go over to the Burks today and pay our respects. Just the three of us.
Paying what?
His older sisters stare at him. Jess and his parents approach Leslie's house. His mother carries a food dish and his father puts an arm around her. They arrive at the front door. An older woman opens it. P.T. trots out.
It's Tarion.
Shh.
You must be Jess.
Inside, a person signs a guest book set before framed photos of Leslie. They find Leslie's parents in the gold-painted room.
I'm Mr. Aarons. This is my wife, Mary. Very sorry about your loss.
I'm so sorry.
Hi, Jess.
Leslie's father hugs Jess, then steps back and looks at the boy.
Loved you, you know. You know, Leslie, she never had much luck making friends at her old school. We were hoping that when we moved out here, she would... She said if it wasn't for you... Jess, you're the best friend she's ever had. I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Jess steps away. The distraught boy wears a distant gaze. A blonde woman passes him and he follows her into another room. He finds Miss Edmonds and their eyes meet.
Jess, next time, we should invite Leslie to go. She'd like that.
He leaves and Miss Edmonds gazes after him. Now, Jess climbs onto the school bus.
Hey, kid.
The driver looks at him.
Sorry about your friend.
In class, Jess lies against his desk. Hoger leans close.
So, looks like it's the fastest kid in the class now, huh?
Jess faces him.
It's a joke, dude.
He punches him.
Are you nuts?
Jess Ahrens. Go wait for me out in the hall. Silent reading until I get back.
Jess leaves with Miss Myers.
Jess.
When my husband died, people kept telling me not to cry. People kept trying to help me to forget. But I didn't want to forget. The things that girl came up with. I don't get students like her too often. So I realize that if it's hard for me, how much harder it must be for you.
Jess shares a look with his teacher, then glances away. In her classroom, Miss Edmonds strums the guitar.
Someday I'm finally gonna let go. I know there's a better way. I wanna know what's over that rainbow. I'm gonna get out of here someday.
Jess lies against his desk, staring off somberly. In the hall, Fulcher shoves Jess to the floor. Janice glares at the departing bullies. On the bus, Jess looks out the window and spots Fulcher holding a bloody tissue to his nose. Janice sits beside him. She rubs her knuckles and smiles.
Hey.
At their stop, Jess and Maybelle exit the bus. He pauses to glance back as the bus doors close. Jess looks at his dad's pickup truck parked by his house, then drops his backpack. Jess jogs away, and Maybelle picks up his bag. In the woods, Jess finds a toppled tree lying across the creek. He walks around its sprawling roots. The boy spots the broken rope hanging over the water. Jess climbs onto the toppled tree and shuffles over to the opposite bank.
Leslie!
He looks around, then runs into the forest. Debris from the trees litters the area. Jess spots the old rusty pickup truck. Scowling, he pulls out the chimes hanging from the rearview mirror. He throws them into the brush.
Leslie?
Jess!
Leslie!
Jess runs back to the creek.
Leslie!
Jess, help me! I can't get across! Hurry!
Maybelle?
The young girl clings to the toppled tree.
Hold on, don't move.
Jess walks over to her.
Here, grab my arm. Got you, don't worry.
He helps Maybelle up and leads her to the bank.
What were you thinking?
I was worried about you.
Well, don't be. I don't want you here.
They jump off the tree.
I want to come with you.
This is our place. Go home. This is our place.
Jess walks back to the tree and Maybelle follows him.
I said go home!
He shoves his sister to the ground, and she begins to cry. Jess climbs back onto the tree and crosses the creek. At home, Maybelle runs to her father in the driveway.
Oh, honey, what's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter, baby?
Running through the woods, Jess bounds over fallen branches. He finds the damaged treehouse covered with brush and debris. Jess enters it to find him and Leslie's belongings strewn about. He stuffs his pockets with paint tubes from his kit. At the creek, he squeezes the tubes into the water. Jess clenches his face as the yellow and pink paint spreads in the current. He glances over his shoulder to find the dark, smoky figure running nearby. The boy sprints through the forest. Jess glances around anxiously. He spots the dark creature running parallel to him. Jess quickens his pace, glancing at the figure. He trips, and the dark creature lunges for him.
No!
Jess's father holds him.
Jess. It's okay, Jess. It's okay, son. It's okay.
It's all gone. Is it like the Bible says? Is she going to hell?
I don't know everything about God, but I do know he's not going to send that little girl to hell.
That I'm going to hell because it's all my fault.
Don't you think that even for a minute.
But it is. I didn't invite her to go to the museum with me. But I didn't want to invite her. I wasn't there to go with her. It's my fault.
No, 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 no. It's not your fault. None of that makes it so. It's a terrible thing. It doesn't make any sense, but... it's not your fault, Jess. She brought you something special when she came here, didn't she?
A tear rolls down Jess's cheek.
That's what you hold on to. That's how you keep her alive.
He kisses Jess on the head. The father holds his son close and gently sways. Fade to black. Nighttime. At home, Jess enters the bedroom.
Maybell?
She plays with a doll in her bed. Jess sits beside his young sister and she turns away.
Look. I'm sorry I pushed you. I was stupid. And wrong. And I really miss you talking to me.
Maybell turns away. Jess spots a diorama resting on the nightstand. Inside, a doll sits at a miniature table. A crude drawing depicts a boy labeled Jess hitting a furry monster. Surprised, Jess glances at his sister. Later, he sits on his bed with his sketchbook in his lap. The messy-haired boy gazes off thoughtfully. Daytime, at the creek, Jess launches a wooden raft. It holds his drawing of Leslie, tubes of paint, and pine cones.
She's in your hands now.
The small raft floats down the creek, and Jess gazes after it solemnly. The boy's gaze drifts from the raft to a fallen tree above it. He stands abruptly. Now, a truck hauling a moving trailer drives away from Leslie's house.
Hey!
Jess runs after it.
Wait!
The truck turns onto the street.
Hey! Hey!
Leslie's father spots him in the side mirror and stops the truck.
I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Can I use the plumber by your house?
Yeah, of course. Anything you see, you just...
Jess spots PT.
You know, I meant to give you Prince Tarion, but I can't seem to give him up.
Leslie would have wanted you to have him.
Yeah.
Jess walks off. In Leslie's front yard, he takes a long wooden plank from a large stack. The boy carries it away on his shoulder. In the woods, Jess stretches a tape measure along the board and makes a mark with a pencil. He cuts the wood with a handsaw. Jess collects tree branches and brush and hammers down planks. The boy continues to cut boards and hammer them down with nails. He drops more branches into a pile. Jess grabs hardware from a bucket, then uses an electric drill. Jess ties branches together with wire and uses pliers to twist the joints tight. He finishes using the drill, then wraps thin rope around several crossing branches. On a wooden shield, Jess paints an emblem of a sword crossing a pencil over a winged foot. He admires his work with a smile. At home, Maybelle plays with her dolls in her bedroom. Jess enters.
We're playing. By ourselves.
Okay, but I know the most incredible place to play. You gotta promise you're not gonna tell anybody about it. Not Brenda, not Ellie, not even Joycey.
Tell Joycey a secret between you and me? She's nothing but a baby.
You're right, and she's not ready to be a princess yet. You'd have to train her and stuff.
Princess? Who gets to be the princess?
Jess extends a hand to his sister. Maybelle smiles and takes it. Now they cross the grassy field.
Step down.
Jess leads Maybelle down a sloping path.
Watch your step.
She keeps her eyes shut. They continue through the woods.
You're not peeking, are you?
Maybelle shakes her head.
Step up.
Jess West leads his sister along a log spanning a shallow trench.
All right.
With a giddy smile, Jess walks on. He stops with Maybelle at his side.
Okay, open up.
Maybelle finds an elaborate bridge. Jess's shield reads, "Nothing crushes us."
Wow. Did you make this?
They step through the archway.
Yep.
Jess leads her onto the bridge.
Hold on a second.
He grabs a crown made from vines and berries, then places it on Maybelle's head.
Look. They must have heard the rumor that the beautiful girl arriving today is the new future ruler of Terabithia.
Who heard?
The Terabithians. They've been waiting.
Where? I don't see them.
It's an ancient forest, Maybelle. Full of magical creatures and friendly giants. Anything you can imagine. But you gotta look really hard. But keep your mind wide open.
Maybelle smiles. Her wooden crown transforms into an elegant metal design.
So what do you think?
As they move ahead, the bridge morphs into metal and stone.
Can there be purple flowers?
Purple flowers bloom everywhere.
Anything you want.
Wow.
Mythical creatures emerge.
And a castle. A big one with towers and flags.
Of course.
A castle stands in the distance.
Look, Jess. It's beautiful.
Some of the creatures play instruments.
Is there a king? Are you the king, Jess?
Only if you're a princess.
The giant resembling Janice walks to the bridge and kneels before them. She takes a silver crown from her palm and sets it on Jess's head. The mythical beings applaud as the siblings step off the bridge and into Terabithia. A wide view rises over a majestic kingdom. A winding river flows around a wooden hill where an enormous castle stands. Snow-capped mountains stretch along the horizon. Maybell beams.
Tara, Bithia.
She looks up at her brother, who surveys the landscape with an affectionate gaze. A close view settles on Jess's eyes. Cut to black. Audio description by WGBH with funding by Disney. Voice by Rebecca Downey.
Sometimes I couldn't hear what you tried to tell me. I thought that I knew all I need to know. I didn't understand that the doors you would open could take me somewhere I wanted to go. I'm grateful for all of the time.
Dust. don't worry, there'll always be a place for us. A place for us.